This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for February 25th, 2011. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. And we'll take a look at the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says the U.S. will continue to push for increased agricultural exports. We'll have that and other stories this half hour. And Todd Gleason says USDA is a good place to start if you're in the mood to drop some pounds. It's all on the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Here's how futures settled this Friday afternoon in Kansas City March wheat. 887.5 up 26. May, 899 up 26 and a quarter. July, 909 up 26 and three quarters. March wheat at the board, 776.5 up 29 and a quarter. May, 811 and a quarter up 28 and three quarters. July, 841 up 26 and three quarters. March corn, 712 up 26 and a quarter. May, 722 up 25 and a half. July, 726 and three quarters up 25 and three quarters. December, 601 and three quarters up 18 and three quarters. March beans, 1365 and a half up 47 and a quarter. May, 1375 up 45 and three quarters. July, 1382 and three quarters up 45. November, 1329 and a half up 43 and a quarter. March soybean meal, 359.70 up 930. May, 364.70 up 980. March soybean oil, 56.90 up 234. May, 57.58 up 230. Live cattle for February, 112.02.5 up 92.5. Go out to the April lean hogs, 90.20 up 70 on the day. And that's Friday's settlements from Chicago and from Kansas City.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stewart-peterson.com.
Taking a look at meteorologist Drew Lunar's weather highlights, he says flooding will expand across the Midwest early next week as another storm brings moderate to heavy rain to portions of the eastern Midwest. Additional snow will fall lightly this weekend from Nebraska, southeastern South Dakota, and northeastern Kansas to Michigan, with a dusting of an inch or two likely. A second winter storm will bear down on the Midwest Sunday and Monday, with additional heavy rain in the southeast half of the region, while a band of significant snow occurs from Iowa to the western Great Lakes region. Flood potentials in the upper Midwest, northern plains, and Canada's eastern plains remain serious due to substantial snow that needs to melt over saturated soil.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good to be back with you, Dave.
Well, it is good to see that the bulls had a little bit of say late in the week. On our website right now, we have the U.S. Ag Outlook Forum numbers regarding corn and beans. We can also send those out to you if you subscribe to the Ag e-letter. To do that, go to willag.org, click on the subscribe link in the right navigation window. We'll send those right out to you. But it does seem like those numbers today with the full release at least temporarily put the focus back on the fundamentals of the grain markets.
I think it did. I think you also had the technicals come in, and I think you also had the news about Saudi Arabia increasing their production. All these three things, I think, worked in favor of the market maybe returning back to the micro fundamental supply-demand issues. And I do feel like, Dave, we're getting to a point now where maybe the trade is going to start thinking more about weather and thinking more about new crop and how are we going to build these tight, tight supplies. And we picked that up this morning in the talk that we had in mid-session, and I think that's going to become more and more of an issue to the trade and hopefully bring more foundation to the trade. But clearly what we saw today was a commodity-wide and equity-wide buy, and I think funds were reportedly around 12,000 in terms of coming in and buying corn futures of 12 to 18,000 contracts is what I was hearing. You saw cotton limit up. You saw sugar up 4%. You saw bean oil up over 4%. You saw just about everything agriculture-related back up and rolling hard, and I think that's where the technicals and the commodity funds work together, because the technicals supported the idea that the commodity funds could come in and buy, and then you had these other pieces of fundamental news that helped support as well.
We'll get to the technicals in just a second. Before we do that, though, you did mention that Saudi Arabia agreed to 700,000 barrels additional crude a day as long as the Libya situation is going on. But a quick question, is the Libya sweet versus the Saudi Arabia crude a red herring?
I think what it is that it is a short-term Band-Aid on a possible artery being punctured. And what I mean by that is the U.S. has just closed its embassy in Libya. We've got an increasing pressure for military action against Libya. Some of the senators and Republicans on Capitol Hill just sent President Obama a letter asking him to move towards a no-fly zone. You have NATO meeting this weekend. And you've got a guy, quite frankly, that's like a Saddam Hussein-style mindset. He's just going to be like a George Armstrong Custer on steroids, I think, Dave, where he's going to be increasingly likely to give a last stand and physically have to be pushed out or you know, physically taken out. And I think that's where we're not out of the woods here. And, in fact, China's oil interests have been attacked in Libya, and they are very nervous in China. The Financial Times reported earlier that 12,000 Chinese workers are going to be evacuated, and that's about a third of the number of workers that China has over there. But their supplies are being shut down because of this violence, and we're a long way away from getting away from having peace over there, I'm afraid, in terms of the short term. And so this issue with Saudi Arabia was something that really was needed, because we know Saudi Arabia is about the only, you know, OPEC power that has spare capacity. But we're going to come back next week and have to fight this thing all over again, I'm afraid.
All right, then let's turn our attention to the technicals. I'm looking at the December daily chart, where today futures managed to claw their way above the 10-day moving average. Who would have thought that 3 days ago?
Big, big day for the weekly commodity index charts. I've been keeping track of the Goldman Sachs Agriculture Index chart and also the Dow Jones UBS Grain Sub-Index chart. Both of those weekly charts hitting major trendline supports drawn off the 2010 and late 2009 lows. So this was a big, big week when it came to the commodity index charts finding support. And fortunately, we did see that, and we found it off of the wheat, especially when you look at across the percentage terms gains. The wheat, other than the bean oil, the wheat had the best showing, followed closely by the March corn. And so feed grains found their support most. Beans did very, very well thanks to bean oil. In fact, for the week, we were only down 2.5 cents in March beans. March corn up 2.25 cents. March wheat still has a long way to go, but it did get back above that 775 level we talked about this morning. It's back above a key daily chart trend line, but it was still down 45 and three quarters for the week.
Bean oil led the rally today, which often makes me a little bit nervous because I would rather see that in meal.
Well, I think that, and you're right, I think that as far as products, you really want the feed one to lead when it comes to the meal bean oil spread. I think the other thing goes back to the energy angle. It seems like that the bean oil bulls were really in there this week because of the energy angle, and that seems to me to be a little bit fleeting. And I think it goes back to, yes, you can get an argument made that with the energy prices going higher, you can see the ethanol demand and the biodiesel demand go up. But at some point in time, because the emerging markets are feeling already high food price inflation, the higher that bean oil goes, the higher that food price inflation gets. Plus, the higher the crude oil goes, the harder it is for those same emerging markets to fuel that demand that has led us out of the financial crisis. So what may be a boon in the short term for the energy sector in terms of the biofuel sector, I think is probably laying the groundwork for quite a tough demand path and pattern in the medium term. So I think that dog will hunt for a while, but after a while it's going to be a tough thing to hold on to those gains, in my view.
All right, let's go back to the technical charts and look at the December corn and the November beans and draw some lines. Where are the lines where you say we are out of the woods?
Well, we'll start with the November beans. We got above the 50-day moving average. That was the key level to get back above. We closed right on the 10-day moving average. So coming back on Sunday night, it would be nice to get back above the 1330 level pretty easily. The real line in the sand is the old trend line that we violated about a week ago, a week and a half ago, and that's all the way back up around 1392 to 1395. So you're essentially wanting, by the close of next week, a $14 close in November beans. At that point, then you can say you're out of the woods in terms of the technicals and the daily charts. For the Dease corn, we were able to close just above the 10-day moving average as well. I think you said that earlier. We also hit the old trend line uptrending support line on the daily chart. That comes in right around the 610 level, 611 high, 611 level, today's high. I'd like to really see that Dease corn chart, led by the old crop, see that Dease corn chart get up above 611 relatively quickly. The July Dease corn spread closed at 125 today. That's the highest we've seen since middle of 1996. The ultimate high in 1996 was $1.65, but we're back up to levels in that July Dease corn spread not seen since June, July of 96.
What else should we look into for coming into next week?
Well, I think the big thing would be the Southern Plains weather. I think when I looked at the updated model maps, I saw very little rain. Lubbock, Texas has got a goose egg for the next 10 days. Oklahoma City is looking at a tenth of an inch. Even all the way up into southern Nebraska, you're not looking at much more than a quarter of an inch of precip over the next 6 to 10 days, and I think that matches up with the National Weather Service Friday forecast that we got a little bit ago. So what I'd really like to see is the Kansas City wheat especially continue to lead this thing higher, especially if we're going to have to fight the crude oil market and the outside markets again.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Have a nice weekend, Dave.
That's Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In agricultural news, the U.S. will continue to push for increased agricultural exports despite forecasts for tight global stocks of major crops and rising food prices. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says, quote, "The U.S. is not going to take the foot off the gas. We're going to continue to invest and promote the American brand of agricultural products around the world." Vilsack spoke at the opening session of the USDA Outlook Conference. USDA released U.S. agricultural exports for fiscal year 2011 yesterday, which are forecast at a record $135.5 billion, up $26.8 billion from 2010 numbers. This year's exports are also forecast at $20.6 billion higher than the 2008 numbers, which is the current export record. Industry sources say that Saudi Arabia has increased its oil production by more than 700,000 barrels a day to more than 9 million barrels per day to compensate for disruption to Libyan output. A report out of Washington by industry publication Energy Intelligence late yesterday said Saudi Arabia had made the change quietly to bypass OPEC policies. The International Energy Agency has said that between 500,000 barrels per day and 750,000 barrels per day of Libyan crude has been removed at present from the market. The International Grains Council yesterday increased its forecast for world wheat production next season by 2 million metric tons to 272 million tons, the second largest on record, and up 24 million tons compared to 2010-2011. World stocks are expected to end the season down 13 million tons at 185 million tons as consumption of 661 million tons outpaces the current harvest by 13 million tons. The Commerce Department today says that the U.S. economy grew slower than initially estimated in the fourth quarter as government investment contracted more sharply and consumer spending was less robust. Gross domestic product growth was revised down to an annualized rate of 2.8% from 3.2%. Economists had expected GDP growth to be revised up to a 3.3% pace. The report confirmed the Federal Reserve's concerns that the pace of growth remained too slow to significantly lower a 9% unemployment rate. Consumer spending, which accounts for more than two-thirds of U.S. economic activity, grew at a 4.1% rate in the final 3 months of 2010 instead of 4.4%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. If you need to lose weight, Todd Gleason says, check out the USDA.
We've all seen the food pyramid USDA publishes, but have you ever tried to use it? Let's try. First, we'll hit the USDA's My Pyramid website. The address is www.mypyramid.gov. Now, you'll find a colorful page and a greeting that says, one size doesn't fit all. My Pyramid plans offer you a personal eating plan with the foods and amounts that are right for you. Cool. Now, on the right side of that page, you can click on My Pyramid Plan, which it says is a quick estimate of what and how much you need to eat. Done. Drop in your age, 43, your sex, male, your weight, dang, and your height, 5'9". Uh-oh, and how much physical activity you do during the week beyond the norm. Do you exercise? Then hit submit. Please note, the weight you entered is above the healthy range for your height. Yeah, I knew that. Would you like a food plan for A, your current weight, or B, to gradually move toward a healthier weight? B, please. And it tells me how many calories to consume, along with the approximated amounts from five food groups. 8 ounces from the grains, half preferably as whole grains. 3 cups of veggies a day, mix them up. 2 cups of fruit, 3 cups of milk, and 6.5 ounces of meat and beans. And if I can do that, I'll lose weight gradually. The calorie count looks easy enough to meet. Think I'll give it a try. Maybe you should too. It's at www.mypyramid.gov. Now, if you want to know more about the data behind the pyramid, then there's another place to visit. University of Illinois nutritionist Karen Chapman Novakovsky says hit the Society for Nutrition Education website at sne.org. It has just published the My Pyramid e-catalog.
In this supplement, which was, you know, previously only available to members of the society or at universities with access who purchased the journal, right? It's now open access. And so that means that anyone who has an interest in finding out, for instance, why they decided on that design or the background for the recommendations or what might be coming up next can go and read about it for free at the jnb.org website.
She meant the SNE.org website. It stands for Society for Nutrition Education. Look for the My Pyramid eCatalog link along the left-hand side of the page. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now with cash grain analysis is Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Could you share with me, because it's a Friday, the flow of farmers selling this week?
We have not been seeing panic sale on the downticks in general. We had a buildup of offers on the down days, and we hit those today. We hit some $7 magic number offers on corn on the rally today. But it's been, I would say, it's been pretty disciplined. People have been selling new crop. They've been scale-up sellers into the market. And when we take a step back, nobody has really been, in general, chasing it.
Does that surprise you at all?
Not really, considering the pace of selling that we've seen. Everybody was good sellers on the rallies for the last several months on old crop, so there's just not all that much old crop left. We're down to, smaller levels. I think most people I talk to are thinking they probably have 80-85% of their corn bought, so you're down more to gambling stocks on corn. New crop, we're the tail end of February, and maybe 15-20% bought on new crop, on harvest type expectations. And that's probably about the comfort level for people right now. And that's going to be mixed up a little bit between zeros and slightly heavier than that. But that doesn't lean itself to real heavy selling into it or panic selling.
Corn exports today were, well, they were massive. They were large. And by all accounts, based on word of mouth and the dip that we saw this week, next Thursday's corn exports should also probably be considered ahead of time to be pretty large. What do you think basis in corn will do between now and the next two or three weeks?
That sure says to me that we're not looking at a big setback in corn basis. You know, we were wondering if on the rally, if we were starting to get the rationing job done. And I would say the fact that we had these big sales numbers, despite the flat price levels, is what led to the pop today. It's saying, no, we're not getting the rationing job done yet. There's more work to do out there.
And a word or two about soybeans, please.
A little more iffy. It looks like we're getting the, export-wise, it looks like we're getting the transition done from a northern hemisphere exporter to a southern hemisphere exporter. But typically you get some fits and starts in that. That still doesn't mean that we're not going to need to export some additional beans and that the domestic crushers aren't going to need to still buy some beans. So it should be interesting, but it looks to me like right now corn should be the old crop leader. The key we've been waiting for is to see if we can, when we back this bean program off on exports, if we shift gears and go to corn, and it looks like we're going to.
Very quickly, your prices.
$6.99 on nearby corn and $13.51 on soybeans.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois. In 2 minutes, I'll be back with a look at the agricultural weather. It's St. Walburga Day. The nun was an English missionary to the Frankish Empire. She died on this date in 779 and was canonized on May 1st of 870. She is known as the patron of crops. It's also International Clam Chowder Festival Day and National Chocolate-Covered Peanuts Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1904, Adele Davis was born. She was a nutritionist and author of Let's Eat Right to Keep Fit. The book created a firestorm in the medical community, where doctors found on average one mistake per page. In 1918, on this date, wartime food rationing began in parts of England. The rationing was in response to German U-boats that were sinking imports of food. By the time rationing began, parts of England had just 6 weeks of food on hand. In 1922, Donald McLean was born. McLean was a Scottish potato expert who had one of the world's largest private collections of potatoes with 367 varieties. The potato revolution was credited to McLean. He spent his life making the public aware of the innate diversity of potatoes, including cooking quality, pest and disease resistance, flavor, and appearance. And in 1934, Elizabeth Gertrude Knight Britton died. An American botanist, she helped establish the New York Botanical Gardens. Britton published more than 350 papers, including more than 170 on mosses. And that's this date in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for our look at the agricultural weather is Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Is it just my imagination, or is it pretty wet out there?
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of precipitation this month so far. Rainfall or total precipitation for February, which most of it hasn't been rain, it's been snow, is pretty well along, and I would say most of Illinois, maybe for the southern quarter of the state, is well above normal for precipitation. Pretty much everything north of I-70 is at least normal to twice normal precipitation for February. South of there, it's a little bit drier, but it has been wet.
Which begs the question, across the Corn Belt, are there locations that are becoming too wet?
There are probably some, especially when you get up into southwestern Minnesota, northwestern, and northern Iowa. It's been very wet there this month and actually for much of the winter. So there's a lot of water on the ground there, a lot of snow still sitting on top of the ground in parts of Minnesota and Wisconsin. So there's still a lot of moisture sitting around. I would think that for the most part outside of those areas, though, it's not too bad. And in fact, the upper Midwest, which is getting near the fringes of the Corn Belt, when you get to northern Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, it's a little bit drier than normal, as is the lower Ohio Valley. So sort of a mixed bag across the Midwest. But there is this band there from South Dakota across Minnesota and Iowa and on into northern Illinois that's been pretty wet.
Some too wet, some too dry, and some just right.
Just about, yes, exactly.
Let's go ahead and talk about these systems that are moving across this weekend.
Well, this weekend is not going to help those areas that have too much water. And we are, you know, we're still seeing rivers and streams here in Illinois rising because of the snow melt of the last 2 weeks, and the ground has been frozen and saturated. So this next system will get a little bit of precip tomorrow, some light snow in northern Illinois, maybe some light snow here in central Illinois, but also equal chances of some light rain. And then it looks like the big event's going to be Sunday night into Monday when a pretty strong low-pressure system comes through, and that will be an all-rain event for us. And there could be some pretty heavy amounts of rain, especially down in southern Illinois, central and southern Illinois, and Indiana. In fact, back far southern Illinois last night got nailed with some pretty good thunderstorms. We saw some rainfall amounts over 4 inches down there.
I'm ready for temperatures to start getting warmer. Are they going to get warmer anytime soon?
Well, they will get warmer for brief periods, especially in advance of these systems. But a long-term switch to much warmer weather isn't right in the cards right now. We'll get a day or two of warmer weather in advance of a system, and it'll cool down like it has the last couple of days here. And we'll see that pattern at least for the next week to 10 days. It looks like a pretty active weather pattern.
20 seconds left. Anything that is of a particular concern to you?
Well, we're just going to be watching the precipitation and the soil moisture as we get closer to spring planting. It's really too early to worry about that right now. And probably the frost isn't entirely out of the ground. So that's probably the main thing right now.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, Dave.
That's Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. And that's today's Closing Market Report. Remember to subscribe to our free agricultural e-newsletter. You can do that at our website at willag.org. Use the link in the right navigation window. This is Dave Dickey. Have a great weekend.